And thanks for joining us now on KVCR for KVC Arts, arts and entertainment, as well as the people and places providing it. I'm David Fleming, and we're welcoming the band Sept, or at least a portion of them, talking about the new EP, High Garden, and welcoming lead singer Ben Ochoa, along with Misa Lara and Bambi Marr. Thank you so much, everyone, for coming in.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Ben was in right around 2 years ago talking about the self-titled release and a few others, and now the new EP once again is called High Garden. I want to dive into this the way that you guys went into the EP, and that is with a bit of Kim Kelly Is My Friend. Kim Kelly Is My Friend. I don't think that Kim Kelly is mentioned once in the lyrics.
Nope.
Kim Kelly is mentioned 3 times in the video, which we'll get to in a bit. Tell us about this one, this song that is, when and where it came from, the phrases maybe even, which first started to come together as lyrics.
Mm-hmm. It came about around like 2023, and that's where most of these songs are all going to derive from, is that era. It was the first time that I went through like a really big change, like in my life, turning 18 and stuff, gaining more responsibilities and stuff. And then also just, you know, when you get older, like you can't hang out with your friends as much and like do all that stuff, because while you're growing up and changing and stuff, so is everybody else. So we all kind of have to take our own separate journeys. But Kim Kelly is one of the first songs that came from that era of just realizing that, you know, I kind of got to step up to the plate a little bit more. And that's why I'm tired, oh so tired. You know, I can barely stay awake, but I never sleep when it gets late. That line's about me, like, just having to go to work the next day all the time and, like, counting down how much time I have left in the day until it's time to clock in and go to work and, I guess, lose my sort of me time that I really crave.
No, that makes wonderful sense, and it's really cool. And actually, a lot of the lines make sense now, talking about, I'm so tired. And I mean, that just paints it right there.
Mm-hmm.
And people need to hear this. Kim Kelly Is My Friend. It leads off the EP, and it's really a great one to lead off with. It's high energy, it's accessible, it's a very driving type of song. Now, was this part of a pile of songs, and this is the one with which you chose to open, or was this written, and then maybe you thought, okay, we need to write the rest of the album here? How did this come about?
All of the songs were songs that I compiled like home demos of, just writing, and we have like a lot of songs, but the purpose was to pick some that would help kind of guide us through that transition from kind of what we usually do on like our past few records into what we're trying to do in the future with our music and stuff. So these 5 songs were picked carefully to kind of like, I guess, just ease everybody into what we really
want to
do.
Okay, now is that the type of songs that they are, or is the production value behind it? Because I feel like there's less of a garage band feel, and this one seems more produced. Is this different equipment? Have you found a better place to record, or are you just polishing the sound? Which I liked the garage sound, by the way, but still, this is a little bit more honed.
Yeah, maybe. What's actually really cool about that, we went out to Balboa, and coincidentally, his name is also David.
Okay,
and he has a great voice like you do too. But we went out there, and it was really nice to have structure and really up our game. Like when you start kind of wanting to invest everything you really actually want to portray to people, it was a great transition from us sounding a lot from garage. I feel that a lot of bands, they get overdone with what they've been doing, and then they just smack their new fans with a different genre, and we care about what our fans think, so we took our time to be like, let's take this as a transitional period. We really want to put emphasis and care about what we're trying to do, especially with the pop punk part of it. We did increase our entertainment value and our structure, and it was really cool to see Ben really take that next step musically and the equipment matching it. which is something that I'm glad you brought up, because it was really important for us to go out to LA and really try to bring the next step, because the record's really a coming of age album. So it was really interesting to see Ben grow in front of me, and it really highlights that, especially with the first song.
Oh, yeah. You mentioned the transition sort of thing, and that's a really cool thing to pay attention to. A person can just listen to these songs and have a great, great time with it. And while I noticed, I mean, I came out of the gate saying, well, this is different, man, but it's not so glaringly different. It's not like what you were talking about a second ago with some band coming out and suddenly, oh, they're doing shoegaze instead of whatever they were doing before.
Of
and
course.
It's a shock because you're expecting and you're wanting something.
Absolutely.
You didn't come for the shoegaze, you know, whatever
yeah,
it was.
Of course, so. Yeah. It's people like alienating their audience. And as you, we joined the pop punk because we felt alienated ourselves. So we know how it can feel if people are a little too aggressive on the change.
Oh, yeah. Perfect. Oh, yeah, by the way, part of what I'll be covering or bleeping or whatever, I have to say it's really anthemic. I mean, like, this is what the audience will be shouting along with you or back at you or whatever the case is. And they don't even have to know the song because, well, you repeat it a second time.
So yeah.
Oh, there it is. Were you trying to do this? Was this supposed to be one of these anthemic type of songs to get the audience riled up and just getting there with you?
One thing that I really think about when it comes to like songwriting and stuff, and this is like random out there, but I'm like, I think about like how my parents and stuff, you know, they'd get drunk or whatever and they'd be screaming these 90s pop punk songs, like lyric for lyric. And so when I write a song, sometimes I'll sit there and I'll think, in a few years down the line, can a bunch of people like scream this song at the top of their lungs in their car while they're driving to whatever destination they're going to? So I guess, yeah, it is intentionally anthemic.
I'm having a great time with this, and as much of your music as I've heard, thanks to Tony Lopez, this may be actually my favorite tune from you, this newest one, Kim Kelly Is My Friend. And
thank
it's I have a hard time with that, because there's a lot of ones that I absolutely love. I'm just not politely speaking to you guys here. I love this music, and if I didn't like it, you guys wouldn't be sitting there.
Let's go. That's what I like.
This will come up on the other tunes. But people need to listen to Kim Kelly Is My Friend several times over just to catch the subtle rhythmic changes or stylistic approach. Who is the drummer?
For this record, we brought in this guy from Misa's old band, if Misa, you want to take it from here.
Oh, yeah. So I used to be in a band. I'm still, it's like on and off. It was called Death Coast. And me and my drummer in that band, we kind of like stopped playing, but we were acquaintances still.
Okay.
Obviously, we can get into that drama later, but our drummer couldn't really like follow the click. My old drummer and came in and really just came through for us. When we were finding a new drummer, it was really great for him to bring it in, because the really impressive thing about Ben is that he'll like kind of lay down the idea. And when you have a good drummer, they can hear like, oh, here are the drums. This is how I kind of want to go. And he took the lead to make them a little different. I think it's great that you noticed that.
Yeah.
He was like the little nuances on the drums, especially with singer-songwriter tracks. I think it's important that the beat sounds a certain way to really highlight it. It's a time and place for drums for sure.
Yeah. Oh, totally.
And I think because when I make these demos and stuff, obviously I'm not a drummer. I'm just grabbing like a generic drum beat from whatever drummer they have programmed into whatever DAW I'm using. So it's really important for things like that and people like him to really make it real and make it distinct to the drummer that they are personally and make that mesh with the songs that we wrote.
That's Ben Ochoa along with Misa Lara from the band Sept, speaking mainly about their newest EP, High Garden. I'm David Fleming with you for KVC Arts. Also in the studio, Bambi Marr, who was a part of the music video end of things, including Kim Kelly Is My Friend. Bambi, did they approach you with the idea, or how did this start for you?
For Kim Kelly Is My Friend, since it was one of the first singles that they were going to be putting out, we did want to have a video to put out with it.
Mm-hmm.
And then I know Ben pretty much titled the song off of Freaks and Geeks. Mm-hmm. So we were very much inspired to make a Freaks and Geeks intro inspired video for it, which is like the one where they're taking the yearbook photos. And it's funny because I also was a yearbook photographer for a little bit.
Okay.
So we just kind of threw something together. We wanted a music video with all of our friends in it, and we just had the intro made. And then we also eventually got a studio and we filmed some extra scenes to fill some more of that time. And then I pretty much just took over that whole video.
Was there a lot of iPhone use? I mean, at one point, if I were to say, oh, did you shoot this on an iPhone, you would think that That would sound insulting. You know, you shoot this on an iPhone or something. But these days, a lot of bands are doing that. Yeah. It's like, no, we used 3 iPhones. And so, I mean, really, what did you use for this?
So we used the Blackmagic pocket camera. No iPhones, unfortunately. I feel like my iPhone looks terrible for some reason. I don't know. My camera's off. So we used the Blackmagic, and then, yeah, we filmed it here and there. And luckily, I have Misa to help me out with filming and my friends. So we just used a pretty decent camera. And that was one of our first videos that we filmed by ourselves without, like, a video crew. And we did a lot of the work ourselves.
I just want to give credit because she's really humble and she does so much work when it comes to getting like Kim Kelly done and doing all the shots. I just want to give her flowers because, man, it was cool to shoot, especially with her background. She took a lot of time letting her into her home and just doing all that videos. I appreciate that.
Coming up with the outfits and like just the whole vibe of everything, especially for Kim Kelly.
When you came up with the notion for it, did you just talk to the guys and say, okay, this is what I want to do. Let's shoot this now. Did you storyboard it? You know, that part of the process for you, Bambi.
So this one was more of a quick one. I think we mostly just wanted to thank all of our friends. My sister's in it. We didn't storyboard it as much since originally we were just going to do the yearbook photos. And then, you know, I think Kim Kelly also has a lot of aspects of friendship breakups, and that happened throughout the shooting of the video. So then we needed more scenes, and that's when we booked the studio. That was the school area to fill that time.
Gotcha.
So the concept changed.
Nice. Okay. Did it change so much that some of your old stuff just had to be completely tossed, or were you able to still incorporate? Oh, it did. Okay, let's hear about this.
We had to toss some of the scenes out just because, you know, I think Kim Kelly is a very coming of age song. And also when you're coming of age, you lose friends. And that reflected in the filming of the video. I mean, I think it turned out great the way that it came out, especially since we were able to film at the school and film like against lockers and have all of that in it. And it reflected in the school theme.
Okay,
it all shaped out.
That's the video for Kim Kelly Is My Friend. Bambi was a part of the video process for one of the other songs on this EP. Speaking of which, why an EP as opposed to a full album?
The main thinking when we were doing the EP was like, if we can get 5 songs to transition to a full record or even do another EP, I'm very strict and I'll just own that. At a time, it was cool, like, hey, let's make as much music as we can to reach the most people. Mm. But at a certain point, I feel like a lot of bands hit a ceiling or they create a box. And I figured if we focus, maybe we can take more time to gain fans because I want to make a record that people can hear it. The thinking was, let's make a record, let's get a lot more fans, people who are interested in hearing our music before we drop a full length and actually create a community, especially how you mentioned with people singing the songs back to us.
Mm-hmm.
I'm really big on giving it the time it deserves and working in a long form because I feel a lot of that time people are afraid to actually take the time and actually know what things are about. True. And now that we took the time to make this EP, like it's a smaller brunch size of music, but people get to listen to it and then we get to talk about it. And hopefully for the next one, we might do another EP and then we'll have a full length so we can actually put it on a record. It's really cool to see the band grow in increments.
Yeah.
Okay. Is there, by the way, any Sept material actually pressed on a hard copy?
We forgot to bring you a cassette.
Oh my God. Yeah, we got some Yeah, exactly.
Yes.
We got some really nice cassettes.
And a beta tape too.
Yeah. Oh my God. We got them like done like really nicely. They have like a little folding thing with the lyrics that comes out. We will definitely go out of our way to come bring you one or mail you one or whatever.
If I don't make the Long Beach show, I'll none of you are too far away. So okay. Oh, that's really cool. That's really cool. Yeah. Is this typical? You put the songs together almost in their entirety and then bring it to the rest of the band, but you will on the initial. You'll be playing the guitar, the rhythm, and then you'll come back in with the lead and then everything else?
Yeah, that's usually how it goes. I write a lot. I write a lot of music and I demo a lot of music. And it's just because since we are kind of like far away from each other, we don't usually get a whole lot of time to get together and jam. So if I had to sit there and wait to get together every single time to, like, you know, really put something together, I might drive myself crazy.
Nothing would get done. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. But I do bring it to them and I tell them that, like, hey, if you think something is supposed to be different here or whatever, I'm always going to be open to that because at the end of the day, I want the song to be the very best version of it that it can be. And I think that happened in the studio a lot when we were doing this record, is that all the songs that I made and the demos that I put together, they were fine, but it's the level that the producer David took it to from there that I didn't know that those songs could kind of reach that level of bigness in their sound, I guess.
Tell me a moment that he asked you to do this versus that, and you're like, okay, fine. Yeah. And then you heard the playback. It's like, oh my God. Tell me about any of those moments.
I can go on one. Just, we went to the back, and some of our favorite bands have played in this studio. Mm-hmm. And like maybe around the second day, I could feel that something lit up in his eye, and he goes in the back, and he's like, oh, so-and-so band used his amp. And then I was just like, oh man. We get all like soft spoken, but then he goes in there and he has like these Fender amps from like the 50s, and he's just like cranking them, like just cranking them in the other room. And I'm like, I've never felt that. And at the moment you're a little scared because you're like, oh, I don't know how that's gonna sound. Mm. And he's cranking it, and then I hear Ben hit a chord from the other room, and I'm like, whoa. Yeah. Then you go into the recording, and then it's like some of your favorite records, you're always listening to them, and in your head you like to think that it's like, oh, it's just guys hanging out playing. But then when you actually see on the surgery board what they're doing, mm-hmm. they're like mm-hmm. tracking multiple guitars, making it sound huge. And now you see it in front of you, like the blessing of having what I always thought, and like credit to you, but him doing the demos and him actually coming to life with all the layers and all the guitars, I was nervous at first, but I just had faith in the songwriting that I was like, if this gets bigger, it's only going to let us grow.
That's so really cool.
I like that. I enjoyed that.
No, yeah. And there was a lot of times where, you know, we'd be sitting there and we'd be listening to the track, and we had all the roots and the bones of it laid down. Mm-hmm. And he was like, let me add this, where like he'd just play one note over and over again, but he'd like tuck it in the background, and just like all this layering and stuff with different guitar rhythms and whatnot. Because I used to like kind of get a little bit like, oh, if we can't play this live, then it shouldn't be recorded like that. Mm-hmm. But I sort of let go of that. And he was like, no, we're in the studio. Like, let's just do whatever we can, and like you play it live how you play it live. Like, that's just, there's a difference between those two things,
the nuances of it.
Yeah, exactly. Okay. And it's like, so you know, when you're making a record, it's just a big piece of art. You use all the colors if you can.
Back now with KVC Arts, I'm David Fleming. On this edition of the program, it's Ben Ochoa and Misa Lara of the band Sept, along with Bambi Marr on the music video end of things. Continuing with another from their newest release, Highgarden. Guess I'm leaving. Okay, going to Guess I'm Leaving, a relationship song. I always ask this about these types of songs. Without naming names, okay, is this an actual experience or maybe the idea of a situation similar?
Yeah, and her name is... No, I'm kidding. No, it's actually my favorite song off of the record, just because I think that song represents the most where I want to take my songwriting, lyric-wise, and then just like the sound of the band as well. I think that's the most pop-punk song on the record. It was around that era where like I just kind of like was going through a lot of changes, and it sort of felt like I lost everything, like attached me to like, I guess, my childhood, my teen years and whatnot, including even my dog. Like, my dog passed away. Aww. I had him throughout my entire teen years, stuff like that. And then so when it came to friends and relationships and stuff, it all just sort of came down on me. And in that song, I think it was so fresh, gut-wrenching. I just laid it all out on the piece of paper, and that's what that song is. Just me being completely honest and open and vulnerable.
I absolutely love the opening phrase for Guess I'm Leaving. Mm. Got the ink and pen to waste on another song about your face. That's just beautiful. And despite the opening lines being about writing a song, I have to say, Ben, this one doesn't seem as much like a song you were trying to write, but almost more like working at adapting journal entries or a letter to someone so that they could become lyrics. Any of that going on, or was this actually, okay, you're trying to write this song and this is how it was?
For me, my songwriting is my journal entry, because journal entries aren't cool. No, I'm kidding. No, but
loser.
When I write a song, it's usually because something just happened or I'm thinking about something that happened, and I really, really need to work through those emotions or kind of like figure out how I'm feeling or just get it off my chest in general. And I think Guess I'm Leaving is one of those songs where it was like, I felt like I didn't have anybody to be as honest with as I could with myself writing the song. So it's therapeutic almost.
The person for whom this was written, did they hear it before everyone else, or will they catch this EP and go, that's me?
I couldn't tell you. I could tell you they weren't the first to hear it for sure, but but I don't know if they've heard it at all.
at the end of Guess I'm Leaving, are you screaming at the end, or is that a tone created by something?
No, that's me screaming.
Okay. And now the cool thing, to have it just cut off instead of fading out.
Yeah.
The choice behind that, you know, I'm a recovering theater geek, so I could be, well, the option behind this was, he was clearly trying to state this.
Yeah.
But was there a choice between, okay, you could have had it fade out, you could have it cut off and leave us just sort of hanging. Was there any thought behind that?
Yeah. I think it's because when I get in some sort of emotional state or like manic type mm-hmm. of episode, like it doesn't really feel like it all like slowly fades out for me. It feels like it's on and it's going and it's going and then I'm done and I'm tired and I want to go to bed.
Yeah,
okay.
I feel that.
So that's what it is for me.
Well, that's perfect. You could have this just fade out and let us ease on out of it, but that's not what this song is about and that's not what the feel is either. And so really this sudden abrupt... it's just suddenly yanked away from you.
Yeah.
You are feeling this. I don't know if you're wondering, okay, this or that, but it works wonderfully with the song. So I had to know if this was some sort of, not was there thought behind it, but rather what was the thought. So thank you for that. Going on to Quarantine Dumpster Cat, and what I'm about to say, this could apply to any of the questions, but I believe I stated, okay, Kim Kelly is my friend. You don't hear that anywhere in the song. And once I started thinking about it, I went through the rest of these songs and titles. None of these are titled with words that appear in the songs. None of them. You can't find that anywhere. So as you're listening to Quarantine Dumpster Cat, you're never going to get the solution. Oh, that's why they called it this.
Yeah.
And I guarantee you, you're going to get this question every single time. Why Quarantine Dumpster Cat? But first of all, about this song, again, just really kick ass. And now the intro, just that bent note. Okay, it's something simple, but it really sets a tone, for lack of a better way of saying it. And I don't know why that really grabbed me, but then you really, really kick it off. One thing that's a bit different about this is there's a couple of voices here. Not constantly, but sometimes it's presumably just Ben, but then somebody else comes in.
Yeah.
Is that overdubbing, or is that a second person coming in with vocals?
Yeah, that's a second person coming in with vocals. We got the honor of having this guy, his name's Graham Steele. He's the lead singer of Sad Park. He also helped produce the songs with David, and he stepped in to do some vocal work as well. So on Guess I'm Leaving as well, you'll hear like a harmony, like a high-pitched, whoa, and in the back, he's in that one. And then for this one too, he does do a good amount of the harmonies in this song.
Okay. With Quarantine Dumpster Cat, again, there's this theme of, okay, we're done, I'm leaving, or you should go kind of thing. So without repeating the question of actual experience versus the idea of something like that, let's approach this a different way. Since we are talking about Quarantine Dumpster Cat, if it applies here, great. Otherwise, maybe another song. But I'm thinking about times when you may have written some lyrics and then found them to be way too specific.
Yeah.
Like when you're writing this, you're feeling anger toward Melissa and you want her to know everything that you're feeling and she should just...
Yeah.
But then in reflection, you think maybe everybody doesn't need to know what kind of a person Melissa is. Or maybe you were a little too angry when writing this. So these songs, maybe even Quarantine Dumpster Cat, Maybe it was written too specifically and you had to back it off a bit so that people wouldn't know.
I've only ever had that experience with one song ever.
Okay.
Otherwise, I'm like completely willing to like tell everybody everything about everybody.
Oh, well.
I think people get scared of that these days. To really genuinely just like say how they feel. Like one great example, I think they're really good at it, is All American Rejects. Is like Dirty Little Secret and then Gives You H. Honestly, like he doesn't come off as a good guy in those songs, but he's being completely honest about how he's feeling and about what he's doing. And I think, as an artist, that's what you are supposed to be doing. I'm not trying to like pretend like I'm somebody else in my songs and stuff. I'm like, this is me, and this is how I genuinely feel.
Okay.
You know?
Yeah, I love that about your writing.
That's very fair. And there's also the fact that if a person makes it more general, that makes it more applicable for more audience members. More people could relate to this, not just you and Melissa or whatever the case was. Poor Melissa.
Yeah.
No, she didn't even exist before this conversation started. And now she's getting dumped on.
I know.
Yeah.
Oh,
I love the transparency that Ben sings with. And what I like a lot about the music, especially this song, there's moments where I feel like we've all been there, where you're going through a breakup or something and you're like, oh, I keep telling you something. There's no communication. It's not really clocking to them. You know what I mean? And then you keep talking and then I love how Ben's like, all right, you're not gonna listen to me. I'm gonna play it live really loud in front of everybody.
Yeah.
And then the irony is that a bunch of people like it and they're very supportive of you and your feelings. The irony is that now that it's even louder, I guarantee you she's not going to listen to it. So it's just, I think that's really cool about your music.
That is really cool. And that is really, really funny too. So I mentioned this before, the title, Why Quarantine Dumpster Cat? Yeah. Of anything. You could have picked so many things here.
Yeah. And speaking of that theme you brought up where like I usually don't say whatever the song name is in the songs. It's usually because I derived the song name from some sort of reference or like inside joke or whatever. And basically during quarantine, I saw this TikTok and I cannot find it anywhere ever again. I must have only seen it once and that was it. But they found a cat in a dumpster during quarantine and they like nursed him back to health and made them their cat. And I just like a funny phrase in my brain was just quarantine dumpster cat. And that's it.
Okay. Perfect. Okay. Okay. It's been music from the band Sept with a few from their latest release, High Garden. That last one, Quarantine Dumpster Cat. I've been speaking with Ben Ochoa, Misa Lara, and Bambi Marr, and we'll have more with them on the next KVC Arts as well, with material, old and new. More on Instagram, at the band Sept, and more on most streaming platforms. And with that, we wrap up another edition of KVC Arts. Thanks again to Ben, Misa, and Bambi. And here at KVCR, thanks to Rick Dulock, Sandy Hodela, Jessica Greenwell, Shireen Awad, and an extra big thanks to Tony Lopez. Many past shows can be found through Spotify, iTunes, NPR One, or many other podcast sites, and more still at kvcr.org/arts. Music beds and themes heard on KVCR is composed and performed by Sean Longstreet, so thanks to Sean as well. I'm David Fleming. Thanks especially to you for listening and for your support.